This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The recent student protests at the University of Missouri certainly drew the attention of the nation to the problems of racism and lack of diversity on college campuses. Faculty diversity is certainly a concern on campuses in Michigan, both public and private, or more accurately put, the lack of diversity. For instance, at Michigan State University, 4.4% of faculty members are Black. At the University of Michigan's main campus, that figure is just 3.3%. Let's talk more about this now. Alford Young Jr. is with us. He's a professor of sociology at the University of Michigan, where he's also with the African and Afro-American Studies Department, and he's the author of Faculty Identities and the Challenge of Diversity. Alford, it's so good to have you with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And from East Lansing, we welcome Django Paris. He's an associate professor of teacher education and core faculty in the African American and African Studies program at Michigan State University. Django, it's great to have you with us.
It's my pleasure.
Well, those numbers I just gave, 4.4% at MSU, 3.3% at U of M, I see you nodding, Alford. I take it this does not surprise you in the least.
Not at all. I've been hearing the numbers for many years now.
Why not?
It doesn't surprise me because of a number of factors. One is that there's a lot of debate in higher education today about what constitutes excellence and who represents excellence. And although many institutions put forth the notion that they're going to search for the best and the brightest, and that will include diversity, I think at the end of the day, there are hard choices to be made. And it's not fully clear to me that those hard choices are always made in favor of diversity, when with limited resources, people fall back upon building, growing, developing in areas that they're most familiar with, that are close to what they do.
Django, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think one thing to remember is it's not just a Michigan issue, right? I mean, as you framed it, thinking about these national student protests. And when you look at the demands of students across the nation from, you know, University of Missouri to Georgetown to Yale to Michigan State, they all list increasing Black faculty as a key demand. Indeed, when you compile the demands from students, right, increases in faculty is number one. Multicultural centers or spaces is two. And the curriculum, that is more courses centered on the experiences of people of color, as well as required courses on racial diversity, is number three. So it's important to see this in a broader context, right? That this is something, I mean, when you look at the numbers in 1981, we were talking about, you know, 4.1%, and now it's 2015, and nationally we're around 5%. It's a fairly intractable issue, and there hasn't been a lot of movement. It's also really important that we historicize the dearth of Black faculty. We have to remember that at predominantly white institutions, these institutions here in our state, as well as nationally, were originally designed to exclude our bodies, right, and our knowledges as Black people, specifically and more broadly as people of color. It's important to historicize this and remember that it wasn't until the 1960s through the coalitional students' movements, right, at places like San Francisco State University, Berkeley, Laney College, where departments, colleges of Black studies, of ethnic studies were demanded and created.
Is that then perhaps a cause or a reason that a pool is smaller than it ought to be because of these decades of exclusion? Now we're trying to catch up and kind of undo that. But is there a smaller pool of qualified applicants than there ought to be?
Well, I think in some disciplines, it is the case that numbers are small. But the bottom line is we've been talking about this issue for some time now. It was an issue when I was a graduate student over 20 years ago. And there needs to be a concentrated effort to monitor and make sense of pipeline issues, to cultivate and develop faculty, to invest in young scholars who have the possibility to grow and develop into the kind of faculty that every institution, including Michigan, would want to have at its ranks. And that involves concentrated effort. It involves more and different effort than general faculty recruiting. And people on the ground have got to be committed to putting in more and different effort.
Let's illustrate all of this by looking at your individual academic careers. And I'll start with you, Alford. Just, you've been here now at U of M for 19 years. Django, I know you're tenured and you've been at MSU for 5 years, right?
That's correct. And I was at Arizona State for a few years before that.
All right. So Alford, I'll start with you. When and why did you choose academia as your life's work?
I decided over 20 years ago when I made the choice that it would be important to have people like me in conversations on race and ethnicity. So I specifically chose sociology. Almost all of my work is on race and the urban experience, although I step into issues around faculty and faculty diversity as well. And I decided then that I wanted to be at the table. And so that motivated me to want to do research and quite literally join the academy.
And Django?
Well, I was a classroom teacher for many years in California, where I'm from, and as well as in the Dominican Republic and then in Arizona. And it was through teaching upper elementary, middle, and high school, particularly working on, you know, issues of culturally sustaining curriculum or culturally relevant curriculum, seeing what that meant to the students of color I worked with, that I started to think about larger conversations around curriculum and around teaching, particularly in terms of race and ethnicity and equity. And so that brought me to graduate school, where I studied language and literacy practices of young people of color in changing urban schools and communities, and looked at the ways that teachers could generatively, right, from strength-based or asset-based approaches, join those valued practices in equitable classroom learning. For me, it was teaching K through 12 that brought me into graduate school, and then finally into preparing teachers and graduate students to do work for racial justice in our schools.
So I'm wondering, for either one of you, there you were, you've got that graduate degree in hand, you are ready to make that transition from student to professor. Did either of you face any pushback or any resistance when you were applying for your upper level? You're talking about university level teaching positions.
I wouldn't say pushback as much as a lot of questions. So I brought with me a very clear sense that I wanted to study race. I wanted to study the urban experience. I wanted to study people like me and the lives they led. And it's very easy to be typecast, particularly in sociology.
What's the typecast?
Typecast is that a black scholar is a specialist on black people, and therefore it's a particular conversation. My move deliberately was to bring in broader theories, broader conversations, to say, here's how we can work these out, explore them through the lens of African Americans. And there were some people that promoted that. There's some that even today raise questions. Why bring some discussion of some European social theorists to the case of black Americans? And I say, if anybody aims to be a social theorist, black people are people too. Theory must speak to their experience and can be challenged by their experience. And that's been essentially the intellectual politics that I've battled as a scholar the way through.
And how about you, Django?
Thinking of pushback, I really appreciate Dr. Young's comments there in terms of having to defend particular ways of doing research or particular research paradigms or particular research programs. As a group of black scientists wrote last week in response to Supreme Court Justice Scalia's comments that black students might need to go to slower track schools, they talked about being tired of needing to defend why there should be scholarship about black people, why there should be black students, why there should be black students and faculty in the sciences and across disciplines, when the opposite is not true. People continue to, by and large, see the fact that there's predominantly white students and white faculty and white administrators at universities as normal and good, not in need of defense. You know, I could tell personal stories, and I think it's also important to mention that as, you know, a light-skinned, biracial, hetero man, I have many unearned privileges that women of color, folks who are racialized as black in other ways, may not. And so it's not just all black faculty have particular experiences. So I think that's important to point out. But I also think it's very important to see at the macro level, and that is that predominantly white institutions continue to be spaces where black students and faculty experience forms of institutional racism. That includes the hiring process. That includes what happens on campus itself. That includes being in committees. That includes being on task forces. That includes being one of two or three in your area sometimes. If folks are interested in hearing more about those sorts of experiences, they might look at Michigan State University Professor Ray Paris's open letter of love to black students, which he wrote last year, and which was signed by over 1,300 black faculty from every Big Ten institution, from every Ivy League institution. And it details some of the things that both black faculty and students encounter at institutions every day.
We're digging into the issue of the lack of faculty diversity in college campuses, not just in Michigan, but across the nation, as we talk to Django Paris of Michigan State University and Alfred Young Jr. of the University of Michigan. Can you give me a for instance, I'll start with you, Alfred, where you found it is difficult to be yourself when you, as a black man, is so much in the minority on this campus?
Well, I've pretty much at this point in my career, I think, mastered the ability to navigate different spaces in different ways. And so I don't feel so much a challenge of not being myself on the university campus as much as there are parts of me that just aren't there. So the music I listen to, the kinds of people I associate with away from campus are very much like the people I see day to day. So there are barbershops I go to, there are friends that I associate with that are just not a part of my academic life.
But would that be the case for most academics?
Many that I know.
Yeah.
Many that I know.
We're not talking skin color. We're talking just being an academic and navigating the life of an academic.
But I also think, though, that there is a level of familiarity or comfort for majority faculty in the space. There's a commonality of background, the commonality of class experience in some ways, that makes that environment a more familiar, a more comfortable environment. I mean, I've never brought a friend, born and raised in East Harlem in New York City, never brought anyone from East Harlem to the University of Michigan to Ann Arbor. That's not a space that makes sense to them. That's not a space that I would want to have to struggle to get them to feel comfortable in. And so and that life stays there.
And remember that, you know, only 2% of full professors are Black. So, you know, that's another issue that we could think about in terms of tenured and untenured. But also to remember that when there are more faculty of color, when there are more Black faculty, the experiences that Dr. Young is speaking of can be changed. I was hired at Michigan State as part of a cohort, and it actually wasn't intentional in many ways. But there were 5 junior Black faculty that arrived at the same time, particularly in education, history, and English. It made a huge difference for us, both within our academic lives on campus, but also our personal lives. And so I think some strategies to hire in cohorts, to hire in particular areas of work, to do cluster hires so people have less, you know, racially, culturally, ethnically isolating experiences on campus are really important to follow through on.
Well, I'm wondering what kinds of conversations and maybe more importantly, actions that are being taken by your respective universities to up this scant little number. Start with what's happening in Ann Arbor.
Well, there's a huge conversation going on. The president of the university, President Slistel, has mandated that every school, college, every unit have a diversity plan. So it's called for institutional conversation across the board. And I think what is both exciting and challenging is that there are a lot of people that are trying to figure out how to have the conversation. Because the bottom line is, in principle, everybody agrees. And faculty of color, Black faculty in particular, get that. So it's not about just agreeing that diversity matters. It's about developing strategies that will achieve success in a world of limited resources. And I think we've got a long way to go to get from having these conversations on campus to developing plans that result in outcomes that are placed in the context of limited resources.
You can't have the plans without the conversations, but you can get mired in conversation forever and ever and not see plans. Indeed. What about in Spartan land, Django?
You know, a couple of things that I think show real promise are as I was just mentioning, ways to hire. For instance, in the College of Education, we have the Urban Education Initiatives, and that's headed by 2 Black faculty, Associate Dean Sonia Gunnings Moten and Assistant Professor Terry Flanaugh. And this includes the Urban Educator Cohort Program to prepare teachers for urban schools, the Graduate Urban Education Program, which is also headed by tenured Black faculty members. These are areas of study, both to support undergraduate and graduate students to recruit and retain faculty of color, that are spaces of scholarly work that have really helped to, again, recruit and also retain, or what I like to think about as sustain, both students and faculty of color. For instance, a few years back, there was a search in my college for new faculty, and the search was called Race, Culture, and Equity in Education. It was headed by Dr. Dorinda Carter Andrews. Because of the focus of that work, a very talented and racially diverse pool was attracted to that hire, and they ended up hiring 2 Black faculty that came in the same year I did. So I think there's ways to increase the diversity, the racial diversity of faculty, at the same time as increase and improve the experience of Black students.
Because that's what I wanted to end on. What's at stake here for these students who will be coming to campuses at the University of Michigan, at Michigan State, all across Michigan? What's at stake here?
There are consequences for every student, for students of color, for Black students in particular, to be able to feel that environments are comfortable, natural places for them to be a part of, and to feel that there are people that are a part of the educational mission that share some background, some history with them is critical. For majority students to be better equipped and informed to engage a world that is becoming more diverse is crucial. So the stakes are high for everybody.
I think the stakes are incredibly high. I would agree. We have to remember that 2014 is the first year that there are more students of color in U.S. public schools than white students, whereas in 1970, white students were 80% of students in public schools. So with this incredible shift, demographic shift in terms of race and ethnicity, language, immigration, our campuses need to be reflective of that shift when we have students who can see themselves and be themselves in classrooms, in their majors, across campus programs, in their student housing. It'll make a huge difference to them, to their current situations, but most importantly, also to their futures.
We really appreciate your insights. We've been speaking with Django Paris, who's an associate professor of teacher education and core faculty in the African American and African Studies program at Michigan State University, and from the University of Michigan, Alford Young, Jr., professor of sociology. He's also with the African and Afro-American Studies Department, and he's the author of Faculty Identities and the Challenge of Diversity. Thank you so much to both of you for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
It's been my pleasure.